I'm Kyle Aaron Rakes, and this is Parkside Today. I'll be taking over hosting duties. Even though we can't go to campus and record in the studio, the show must go on. This time, we're actually going to be talking about a new show that has just launched, Parkside Presente. Parkside Presente is a weekly Parkside-produced program designed to share information, stories, and testimonies during these uncertain times, with a series of episodes focused on different topics related to the effects of the pandemic in our community. I'm joined today by the driving force behind the program, Gia Gutierrez, Outreach and Program Manager for the College of Social Science and Professional Studies, and Dr. Peggy James, Dean of the College. Gia, Peggy, it's great to have you on the show. I understand you're both pretty busy.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yep, we're really happy to be here.
So what was the impetus for launching Parkside Presente?
Well, one of the things that we've been thinking about is that as we're all trying to keep engaged and try to keep engaged with our community and our campus, is that there hasn't been a lot of information that's been available to our Hispanic community. And so we thought that one way to keep connected might be to actually have some updates and some stories that are specifically geared towards the folks who might be more comfortable in listening in Spanish rather than English.
I think another great approach to our show and our community is also rooted in the sense that a lot of our students, you know, have a very high value when it comes to their family. And I think maintaining their families informed, especially these families prefer to listen to these updates in Spanish. This is definitely another way for them to be able to feel connected with campus and with our community. So I think it definitely was a part of our objective with launching the program, that we want for families to know a little bit more besides what students may be able to share with them and being able to hear it in Spanish.
And with this keeping everyone connected, how challenging was it to get everyone together for the show?
Well, I think part of the challenges is at first it was the fact that a lot of the students and professors that we wanted to engage with this were, you know, going through courses as regular, but on an online format. And so that definitely, you know, changed a little bit the dynamic for that students were, you know, familiar with. And so it's been a little bit challenging at first because faculty as well have been very, you know, continuing the work and being able to focus on finals as well for students. And so it was a little bit challenging at first to get their perspectives because they were very, you know, caught up and busy with a lot of the things that we're carrying on within our semester. But as we've been able to approach the finish line with courses, students were definitely a little bit more open and flexible to contribute and be part of our initial first couple episodes.
And about how many episodes do you plan to produce? Will the series continue well into the future and touch on non-COVID-19 topics?
Well, I think that we had planned on at least taking it through the end of the year, but as we become convinced that this is really a good way to connect with the Hispanic community, that this would actually be something that we might be able to actually continue on a weekly basis and talk about events or opportunities that are coming up for our students and their families that might involve Parkside or might involve the Kenosha or Racine area. So I'm hoping that Gia's energy will last out and she will want to do this as long as we possibly can, but definitely through the end of the year. Hopefully we'll get some folks who might want to actually help with it, and we can have other people working on these shows as well.
Certainly, I think a great way to look at it is in seasons, right? I think if we're faced right now with the current pandemic situation, I think it would be great for us to focus on as many episodes that can be geared towards this. And then as situations start changing, as we start approaching maybe even the start of the fall, maybe we can, you know, launch our fall season of the show. And so I think definitely the show has the potential to have different seasons. And I think our community would be very open to be able to learn more about some of the events that we are having on campus or just even updates about different initiatives and programs. And I think this could be a great way to communicate that to our community.
Fantastic. What kind of response have you gotten so far from the show, from the Parkside community?
So far, because we are very fresh still out within our community. And we, at this point, you know, we only have had 2 episodes. The responses are still very limited. And so some of the input that I've received from students, and this is just from, you know, the first students that we went ahead and interviewed, they were excited to know that this was going to be kicking off. And I mentioned, you know, the possibility of being able to highlight more the work of our students within our campus. And they were happy that there was going to be an opportunity for them to showcase a lot of their work in Spanish, because they have, you know, other methods to be able to do this, whether it's through the different radio shows or, you know, events on campus, presentations and such. And so being able to have a place where they can also, you know, hone in on their Spanish speaking skills is going to be, I think, a great way for students to really build on their experience as students. And that was something that the students that I have spoken with mentioned to be excited about.
The first episode of Parkside Presente was about optimism during these troubling times. Do you have any stories you'd like to share about staying optimistic during these times?
Certainly with the first episode, it was important to find a way to present our perspective in as an institution, but also being able to talk a little bit more about how this has impacted our community on a much bigger scale. And I think we wanted to certainly be able to communicate a lot of this in a way that was relatable. And sometimes that's through stories, you know, through storytelling. And I wanted for the first episode to capture the audience by sort of seeing how this story specific to Parkside has unfolded over the last couple of weeks. And so that's sort of the perspective that I've been applying for the last couple episodes, sort of as we're telling it as it's happening. And although we've been in this situation with the pandemic for a little bit over a month now, we are certainly almost like a little bit behind, because we want to be able to, you know, talk about the most recent, you know, updates within our community, things that have been happening and movements within organizations. And so I think we're right now trying to catch up with a lot of the different things that have been happening, but we want to do it in a way that makes sense chronologically as well, to understand how we got to where we are today, based on everything that has happened so far.
And one of the things that helps us keep optimistic, I think, is knowing that we're not the only folks who are struggling or having challenges or having problems with this. Sometimes, especially when you're not able to talk to people in person and face to face, you might feel that everything that you're experiencing is just you, and just has something to do with, you know, your inability to handle technology or whatever it might be. And it's helpful for people, I think, to realize that other folks are having the same sorts of difficulties as you are. So, for instance, when in our first episode, when we interviewed Greg Kramer, who was a professor of teacher education at Parkside, he spoke about the difficulties he was having, and also his wife, who's a teacher in the Milwaukee Public Schools. And I think that's good for folks to hear, especially students. It's good for them to hear that their professors are also facing challenges and are struggling to make this work, so that they know that they're not alone in this.
That's great. I know that was a big point for me finishing up the semester, so that's awesome. Shifting gears a bit, what's new for CSSPS? Anything on the horizon for summer and fall?
Well, I'm really excited about the fall. We have lots of different initiatives, and I know that they're going to be, that they will happen. They will happen in a different modality, most likely, is that we'll have some sort of online or hybrid or combination of face-to-face experiences. But a couple of things that we do every fall is to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month in September and October, and also to host an event for families and middle school folks to come to campus to learn about the college experience in Parkside specifically. And that event is called Descubre, and it's entirely in Spanish for our Hispanic community. We're still doing those. We're not yet sure exactly how we're going to make that complete transition to an online or hybrid form, but we definitely are going to continue celebrating Hispanic heritage, and we are definitely going to offer an opportunity for people to come to campus, whether or not it be virtually or in person, to see what campus and the college experience is like. So those two events will, I think, will be big topics of Parkside Presente in the fall.
The shift to online learning has been tough. Do you have experience you'd like to share?
Oh, well, I mean, I can share my own experience, but also of the faculty. And it's probably the same thing with the students, is that there are a number of us who either taught an online course or taken an online course. But what was very difficult and different this particular semester was that everything was online. And I think that's where the stress actually happened, because it wasn't just one online class or two, but all classes were online, in addition to not having access to the library or to be able to actually do face-to-face group conversations. And I think it's the idea of feeling isolated as you're learning, or even isolated as you're teaching. So many of my faculty have said to me that they feel that they really miss contact with their students, is that they find that they are more energized and enjoy teaching more when they've actually got students to have some back and forth with. And so faculty are finding it difficult to keep energized in this sort of environment. And I know students must be as well, because it's just, not only do they have the online experience to deal with, but many of them have children at home or other family members that they need to take care of. And, you know, it makes for a very busy home life.
Yeah, some of the experiences that the students were sharing, and that even in my experience as a student, I think when you're coming in with a mindset of taking online courses, but everything else around is still in a normal sort of routine, it's certainly a little bit easier, because you are, you know, expected to be able to, you know, maybe sit through your coursework, you know, do your intense reading and such. But because of the shift of how things have changed and the disruption of our routines, it no longer becomes just that single focus, you know, of completing your coursework. It's also the factors outside that can be very overwhelming. And in my personal experience, that was also something that I think affected, you know, some of the work that you're doing. And I think that's why many students, you know, were kind of going through those situations, because it's not just the transition from in-person courses face-to-face to online, but it's also, you're taking these courses online, and then there's also all these outside situations that don't always allow for you to be able to concentrate and be able to, you know, deliver that 100% to your courses. And I think that was truly one of the biggest challenges in all this.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully it turned out good for everybody.
I hope so too.
Well, Gia, Peggy, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. I hope that you're all staying safe and healthy. We're very pleased to be joined today by Dr. Claire Wu. Dr. Wu is an assistant professor of management at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. She earned her doctoral degree in human resource management and organizational behavior at the University of Illinois Chicago. Dr. Wu is a Chicago Metropolitan Exchange Scholar in the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University. Before joining UW-Parkside, Dr. Wu worked as a lecturer at the University of Illinois Chicago. Her primary areas of research interest include leadership, ambivalence, and creativity. Dr. Wu, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So my first question, the three areas, leadership, ambivalence, and creativity. The ambivalence jumps out at me. Tell me about that area of interest.
Yeah, so I work on ambivalence as my dissertation, because we know in organization everyday life, we may feel both positive and negative towards something. It could be our boss, mm-hmm. our organization. And some people may feel like when they feel ambivalent, they feel paralyzed, or they're very rushed to choose a side. I like it or I dislike it.
Okay.
Other people may say, okay, let's wait. Probably we can find a compromise. So my research finds that will affect people's innovation and creative behaviors.
Okay. I want to get back to that, but before we come back to some of your research, you teach human resource management at the undergraduate level and leadership theory, application, and skill development at the graduate level at UW-Parkside. When all of the classes moved to online in the middle of March, how did you have to adjust your learning style or plans for the final 2 months of the semester?
Right. Especially for my face-to-face class, when they moved online, it is a rapid change.
Right.
And we need to make plans with the students to how to move forward.
And which class did you have face-to-face?
Human resource management, and it's undergrad class.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I took a very, very quick look at the piece that was published in the Journal of Business and Psychology, Reversing the Pollyanna Effect Course, Self-Evaluations and Perceived Social Acceptance, a Moderated Curvilinear Relationship Between Core Self-Evaluation and Perceived Social Acceptance. And as I took a quick look through that document, how do you explain core self-evaluations? What is that?
So this sounds like a lot of academic language, but simply put is how you see yourself. Do you see yourself as worthy, effective, and capable as a person? How you see yourself?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we know like a lot of popular press will say the key to success is simply to believe in yourself. And we actually find the more you believe in yourself, the richer, happier, successful you are. That's a lot of literature establishes relationship.
Uh-huh.
In my research, we find that it actually is a curvilinear relationship. So on the low end, you probably don't experience as much success when you don't believe yourself at all. But mm-hmm. at the extreme end is we didn't test before. And then we find if you believe too much in yourself, we find effect. It hurts your social relationship in organizations.
Interesting. And when, as you did the research, were there any... Did the research get into any differences between, let's say, a person who's just starting their career, or let's say a younger person starting their professional career versus someone who's been involved in their professional career for a while, or any differences between, let's say, males and females in the workplace, or any specifics?
That's a very interesting question, actually. We did a test because we may expect, okay, when people who are older, we don't see this effect because if you feel really good about yourself and you are more senior, people probably will respect you feel great about yourself. Mm. But in our data, we don't show a difference.
Hmm.
So back to your question, another possibility is we collect the data in China, Chinese organizations. And in China, humility and being modest is kind of a virtue. So we may also expect our senior or older employee to be modest. That could counter the effect. But probably in U.S., I don't know if the age or gender will make a difference, because sometimes we may expect females to be more modest, male to be more aggressive, believing your abilities. But that's a good future direction.
Right. With what's happened to business and industry because of the pandemic, globally, in terms of the model of how people are how organizations continue to run has changed pretty dramatically in the last 6 months, in terms of more people working remotely. From your experience and kind of using that as a perspective, how do you think that the workplace changes when it becomes more remote and you start factoring in the core self-evaluation? Is that a fair question?
Right. I think just a quick thought based on your question, maybe from two perspectives. First is how you deal with yourself. because when you work remotely, your job satisfaction, your productivity may be affected. Then you work, you go to office every day, you have a routine. Mm-hmm. Probably people have more core self-evaluation. You believe in your self-control instead of environment. They probably will be affected less by a rapid change because they believe in they are the one who take control of the environment.
Sure, okay.
Instead of, but the, on the other side, there's still a relational piece because you don't go to office daily. You don't interact with your coworker and boss as often. It is a very interesting topic to look into how when you work remotely, it affects your interaction with your with the people in your organization.
Right. And I know from being a person who was at the end of their professional career, and even at working at Parkside, my office is pretty, I'm pretty much by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I often think that at this point in my career, I'm fine with that. You know, that's okay. And I think I'll bet it would have, if I would have had that same almost like remote feeling as a younger person, mm-hmm. when I first started my professional career, it would have felt much different as a young person than it does today. And I wonder how the people just starting out in their careers, and let's say you just started your career and all of a sudden someone says, okay, you're going to work from home, you're not coming to the office, what that does to the psychology of that new employee.
Right. I think it does several ways. First is your personality. When people are more extrovert than others, probably they feel less comfortable mm-hmm. work by themselves every day. But we do find when people are in a later stage, their personality will be different when they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is when you're early in your career stage, you probably need more support from your direct supervisor
right.
to help yeah. you to navigate the tasks. If you can keep this communication and still get the support from your supervisor through, not through face-to-face interactions, it'd probably be good. But on the other side, sometimes when you work by yourself at home and you do not get your supervisor support or your senior co-worker's mentorship, it could be difficult.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Claire Wu, Assistant Professor of Management here at UW-Parkside. Claire, how during the last 8 weeks of the semester, which were quite different than anyone could have expected or predicted, what was the relationship like between you and your students, especially in going back to your undergraduate class where that was a face-to-face environment? How did that change or how was that different with your students during the past 8 weeks?
I think it is a rapid change and we all work together to make this happen. So for my classes, we have group projects. So initially mm-hmm. students will meet after class or meet in the class. But now the first task I did is I ask students to form a team contract to work on a plan how they're going to move forward regarding this change. So for example, how will they do the communication, decision making, managing the tasks, and managing the relationship, and what's their timeline for their group project when they switch to work online. I also collect all their communication, like preferred contact methods. I think that actually helps them to transit because you need to know things will be different when you start to study from home. But another thing is I do receive emails from students who share their struggles. One of the students lost her job.
Oh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and some students lost their relatives. So I think it's a crisis for students.
Right, right.
And they're doing their best to cope with this change. And I always tell them is they're doing their best to cope with this crisis. It's not just you, now you start to work, study or work from home. Actually is you have to study work from home to cope with this crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's understandable your progress is not a straight line, it's a curved line.
Did you interact with colleagues of yours in the business department or maybe other professor colleagues about, you know, some of their challenges or how you're dealing with some of the challenges of the quick shift to the online delivery of the courses?
Yeah, I'm very lucky. Our department actually have meetings once per week. after this shift. So we do discuss about the challenge, how to set the structure. And also for myself, as a faculty, we still face this rapid change challenge, just like students. Mm-hmm. It's a crisis for both of us. Mm-hmm. And I do get the support from our department and from my colleagues. And for example, I will ask other colleagues how they're doing in their class, what methods are more effective in terms of online discussion, online group projects.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that, and what I heard was that some professors were, and there's a word for it, and I can't think of the word right now, but they had, the classes were more, if the class was at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, the online class was going to be at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, and kind of keeping that structure. Did you hear from different colleagues about whether they chose to be more structured with the time, or because they were going online, that the time frame was a little bit more, it was spread out a bit more?
I think different professors may use different, their preferred style for this change. So for my HRM class, it seems it's not like a math class. We have the calculation, a lot of materials needs professor demonstrations. Mm-hmm. So what we did is I will just check in them like once a week about things, not we can keep the class structure because they're still working together to figure out their group project. And that takes time for them to formulate a plan.
Sure, sure. From your viewpoint of management within organizations going forward, and I'm thinking of, I believe it was Twitter that came out last week and said, well, employees don't have to come to the office anymore, you know, beyond whatever happens with the pandemic, however, you know, whenever, however we get through this. But how do you think that this experience with, for companies that were forced to go to a more of a remote style, does that carry forward as those companies move into the future?
We do see like Twitter, Facebook, many companies based on their company business nature are saying they will consider to continue this telecommunication even after COVID-19. So this opens opportunities, also has challenges. For example, so that's my new research. I'm trying to look at how this telecommunication affects our work-family facilitation, work-family conflict, mm-hmm. work productivity. We will see, because on the one side, it offers more flexibility, autonomy. On the other side, you may lose the structure, you may lose the face-to-face interaction and support.
Right.
So there are a lot of new questions.
Yeah, and that's even, you know, I've never worked remotely this much. And one of the things that I found pretty interesting was we have a conference call with other communication people within the UW system. And I very rarely see these people. I'm on phone calls with them and I hear their voices, but I don't see them to the point where it's like, oh, okay, I know who that person is. Well, since the middle of March, we've been on WebEx calls, and I found it pretty interesting to see people that I only had their voice before. And granted, they're spread out around the state. Mm-hmm. But it almost made me feel more connected to that group than mm-hmm. when all I was doing was just talking with them over the phone. So I saw that as a positive, but I do miss the personal interaction with you know, with some of my colleagues as well.
Right. It depends on the telecommunication intensity. So probably if you work from home like 3 days a week and then go back to office to check in to regroup, there are a lot of combination possibilities. It may not be just all work from home, all work in office. It could be a combination of possibilities.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think from a management standpoint, the you know, when the thing of if you're working remotely and you're the director or the manager, you don't know what your employees are doing. Like having to sort of let go and let your people have some additional trust in them, that they are getting they are getting meeting their responsibilities and being as productive as they would be whether they were in the office. Is that a management kind of a little bit of a struggle having to let go of that?
Yeah, there actually is research look at micromanagement during telecommunications. So the manager just set a very strict structure and checking very often and monitor your work. Actually, it shows makes people feel uncomfortable. But this is regardless of working from home or in the office, like modern days, the organizing structure becomes more flat. So you may have more autonomy based on job nature about how to get the job done. But your boss's job is to set a clear goal and set the process very clear and let employee themselves to figure out the rest. It's very similar to when we let our students do group projects. We give them overall goals and they will work with our team members to figure out the rest of the steps.
Wow. Well, it's a fascinating subject, and certainly the how the world of business progresses in the next 18 to 24 months, it probably is positioned to change more than it has in maybe decades because of being almost forced to do it at this point. Is that kind of correct?
Right. It definitely is a rapid change, and it opens opportunity for us to think about probably telecommunication will make work-family balance better. People can be more flexible to their work schedules,
right.
And it may save the organization costing office space.
Yeah. I had a conversation with a family member this weekend where she's ready to get back to the office. And one of the reasons she's ready to get back to the office is that at home, she's not only doing what her business career is, but she has two kids that make it more difficult to do that. And I think I'm pretty lucky. You know, I'm here in my basement and I kind of can do what I want for the 8 hours. And so there are definitely challenges to working remotely as well.
Right. I do have students tell me they probably will turn the homework late because they're homeschooling their kids. So on some side, working from home could be more challenging. And especially there are individuals who find it very hard to detach themselves from work. When you work from home, you probably work longer hours. Then you go to the office, finish your work, and go home. You have a separation boundary.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. That if I wake up at 2 in the morning and I'm thinking about something that I should have done or need to do, it's a lot easier to get up, come downstairs and do it and get it done than thinking about it, where obviously if it was something where I was going into the office, I wouldn't be doing that. We've been talking with Dr. Claire Wu, who is Assistant Professor of Management at UW Parkside. Dr. Wu, it's been a pleasure chatting with you here for a little while, and good luck with your research and good luck with the rest of your classes this coming fall.
Yes. It's a pleasure talking to you, too.
To hear past editions of Parkside Today, please visit uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening, everyone.